gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Okay, at least we're not CNN. We are not reduced, Chris, to toy planes.
Right.
Interviewing flight attendants or fishermen.
Right.
But we are stuck with interviewing Travis Bone because Jim Ward is stuck on the freeway.
Jim can make airplane noises for you.
Pardon me?
Jim can make airplane noises for you, at least if he was here. Oh, Carlos Alzerocchi was in that movie Planes.
Oh, my God. Carlos,
we've got coffee, our expert.
Sexy liberal.
There you go.
In hour number three for Coffee with Carlos, and he will do plane noises for us in hour number three.
As El Chupacabra.
To fill time, as they say in television, to stretch while talking about the Malaysian Airlines incident that no one still knows really anything about. Here, all we have is, hang on, here it is, here he is, pointing fisherman. I saw a thing up.
Eddie turned.
Don't know if it was that plane. Right, we don't know. That's what and CNN was interviewing flight attendants yesterday. So there
just
you go.
Just random flight attendants?
I guess. I don't know. Listen, this is a lot of time to fill with very little information.
And this is all CNN's got going for them these days.
I love Rachel Maddow, which we do have some breaking news on the Malaysian. And by breaking news, it normally means news that is new. Some information that is actually new. All right. However, we were... Oh, here's what Travis did. He's also the mailman.
He is.
On the show. And so someone sent me a picture of them talking to me on the phone.
Yes.
Right.
I take Instagrams of me talking to you on the phone all the time. Lots of eye-rolling pictures.
Right.
Lots of eye-rolling.
What is your Instagram account?
I beg your pardon.
Trav Prime.
Trav Prime.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You'd like to follow him?
I assume they sent this because they wanted to memorialize the magical moment when they were actually speaking to me. You just do not appreciate that, do you?
When you call
them, you're like, ugh. Chris, what's the face you make when you see my name on your phone?
Oh, God.
How many times did I call you yesterday?
About three or four.
Is this why you needed a cronut last night?
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons I needed a cronut.
He's Facebooking. He needed a cronut last night. What did you do to him? Those things have like...
Natan, how many times did I call you yesterday? Maybe three? He had to call... Oh, you know why? You know why? He had to come here. I didn't just call him. He had to come
really?
Here. Because you unplugged my phone line in the
closet.
I did not
unplug your phone
in your
line.
Little troll closet. Yes, you did.
Nobody else goes in there.
Yeah.
I don't even go in there. I just pulled the desk out.
That's how
you
unplugged it.
You pulled my phone line out, you bastard.
And every time you call, I'm like, if I'm slow enough to answer the phone, maybe it will go to voicemail. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my plan to keep her from calling didn't work.
Listen, I'm not buying that. I see your cat-like reflexes over there on the board. I know you're trying to go in slow motion. Oh, I missed it.
Oh, damn it.
I just look at my caller ID and think, I've got a really important decision to make right now.
To how the rest of my day is going to go. Hey, listen, every time Jim is late and you fill in, what happens? You get free swag. Who's getting free brony swag because of Mama?
I may have gotten an email from someone at Hasbro yesterday.
You may have? And you may be... Are you getting a Rainbow Dash purse or
a backpack, I hope.
Oh, okay.
If it's a messenger bag, I'll bring it to work every day.
No, I hope it's one of those little girl backpacks.
Me
sure.
too. Me too.
So you can bully
hey.
Me?
Hey.
Yes. That's what's all about Muscle Boy
funny
over there?
Funny you should bring up messenger bags. You know how you could get a Stephanie Miller Show messenger bag?
That was smooth.
Oh, my God. All rise. These worship queen segue. Thank you. It is Fun Drive week here at Free Speech TV. Actually, last week and this week, and I believe next week's our last week. And we have goals to hit, people. You have to have goals in life. Okay, yours is getting free swag. Some people have loftier goals,
like
keeping people like me and Amy Goodman and Tom Hartman on the air here at Free Speech TV. And here's what you do. You call, go to freespeech.org, or you call, where is it? Carry the 45. 1-877-378-8669.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
And please give generously. For $60, you get the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug. $120, you get the coffee mug and the Stephanie Miller Show messenger bag.
So I could donate $120 and actually get a messenger bag for the show I work on that you won't give me?
Right.
Okay.
I don't have them yet. No one has these yet. These are big deals, you know.
I have never been given a piece of Stephanie Miller swag. I've always had to buy mine.
I've got to...
Have something from my canceled television show.
No, I've got a full set of those I use for beer pong.
How'd you get a full set of them?
I don't know why. I do not get the respect that I'm entitled to around here.
I cleaned up the desk over there at Clear Channel.
Free speech,
why
people.
Why can't you give me... the respect that I'm entitled to!
Free speech TV people, let's just block them out now. It's just Mama talking to you now. Just white noise. These two. Oh my God, I hate everyone here. For $240, you get the Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug, the messenger bag, and the baseball cap.
Uh-huh.
For $360, you get the coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the hooded sweatshirt. And $1,000, you get to come to a meet and greet right here with Mama and the Moose in the studio. And we'll even shove you in Travis's closet and see if everything's plugged in. Some people, you have no idea what's going on.
You're still calling me, so it's working.
Also, I'll take you out to lunch. $1,000. Come on, do it. Do it. Do it. Freespeech.org or call 1-877.
To the In-N-Out just down the street.
Right.
That's where you'll go.
1-8. Yum, yum, yum.
How much
what
they
a hamburger's all about.
How much do they have to donate to go to a spin class with you?
Listen, that's
the real Stephanie Miller experience right there.
I'll take you to spin. 1-877-378-8669. Do it. Do it.
Or freespeech.org.
Right. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. Listen, Jim's not here, and we have someone magically to replace him to disparage me.
Yeah, not disparage.
You have me all so scared. I'm never even sure. Like, I get to a word, and I just start skidding in my mind because I'm like, I think I know how to say it, but I'm going to... disparage. No?
Yeah, that was it.
Right, see?
Disparage.
Right. Oh. It would be like getting off a barge the way I normally say
right,
disparage.
Disparge.
Okay.
Right.
That would be wrong. Okay.
Very.
All right. Okay, speaking of people that hate me, wow, this is awesome and new. Travis, did you see this?
No, wait, which one was this?
Because I'm sure you make it also part of your hobby to scour the interwebs and defend Mama.
I've got a news alert for you.
No.
I can't say half the words I have on my news alert for you on the air.
You know what the news alerts are usually now? Stephanie Miller scored 20 points in the high school basketball game. And
oh,
yeah.
Someone that's not me.
Exactly.
Stop naming your children Stephanie Miller.
There's
God
an up-and-comer trying to take your... Have you ever, by the way, have you ever Google yourself?
I try not to.
The Google image search where it shows, like, Stephanie Miller on the side of the page, mm-hmm. It's a picture of someone who's not you.
It's a bodybuilder. There's a professional bodybuilder named Stephanie Miller.
Oh, well, that's, you know, it's not bad, but it's a little scrawny compared to... Yeah, well, because I was on vacation last week, and so when you meet new people... They all say, oh, I Googled you, and you're like, ew.
Ew.
Not sure.
The camera just said 10 pounds.
One guy told me something I did not know. He said, Huffington Post loves you. I would have thought you're Ariana's sister. They love you so much. And I'm like, really? I don't. I've never Googled that.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, then why haven't they asked you to write for them for free?
If that's true,
that's
I would say, Ariana, if
do.
You love me that much, I would call. Hello, Fresh to Beach TV. This is Ariana. I would like to give all the money that I made. From the cell of the Hot Post to the AOL to the Stephanie Miller Show.
She could have lunch with you every day for a month.
Exactly. I'll take you in and out, Ariana. Let's go.
I'd like to see her at spin class.
You'll even spring for a double-double.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is new. Jonathan, Blake from Alabama hipped us to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome, isn't it, Mama? Just thought you should see this. This man is saying that you tell black people how to behave and to act to qualify as a legitimate black. This is, there's an actual thing on YouTube called Stephanie Miller, a liberal licensed racist.
Should be licensed liberal racist.
Right, and
whatever.
I was like,
That's alliteration.
What was awesome about it, and all the posters, the comments?
Yeah.
They were like, dude, what are you talking about? You don't even say what she said. And you know, when I Google Stephanie Miller racist, all that comes up is this. What are you talking about? Like, he does a whole 4-minute rant.
Right.
And you don't know what, like, I'm going, what? I don't, huh?
I'm not
but you,
aware of
it's
this.
A far right place you've heard of.
Yeah, it's a far right place called Pajamas Media. Then they're closely tied with Breitbart.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Quality media.
Yeah.
This is a black gentleman who is calling me a liberal licensed. Do we have a little bit?
We have a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want the whole thing because it's...
I'm not sure if I've ever heard of Stephanie Miller before today.
All right.
I really want a refund for the brain space I had to waste on finding out who she is. I heard her statements to the effect about how us black folks are supposed to behave.
What?
Stephanie Miller is a Bill Maher wannabe.
Oh.
And has about as much charm as a bunion. But there you go, liberals that are black. Another white liberal making a determination on how you're supposed to act. Stephanie Miller promotes the idea that to be really black is to be a thug. And that the model of what it is to be black is personified in people like Ludacris and 50 Cent.
Oh.
Stephanie is another cowardly liberal bigot who has a negative perception of blacks in general and wants to express her negative sentiments against blacks while she chicken-heartedly projects her sentiments onto the Tea Party so she can get away with her bigotry scot-free.
What?
Typical of a shallow liberal. She expects people to perform and behave according to their skin color. Okay. Stephanie Miller is another full of herself liberal who thinks she's qualified to be an authority on how black folks are supposed to act. You Democrats really can't get over the fact that you don't own us anymore, can you?
That, how many times a week do I say
I
that?
Know,
why
right?
can't I, mean, I own really? A black person? What was he talking about?
I have no idea.
That's hilarious.
I feel like I listened to this show and I don't know.
I plucked out two things. First of all, charm of a bunion. What? And secondly, you can say that I'm not full of myself. My self-esteem, woo!
That's true.
Of anything I've been accused of, being full of myself is not one of them. Wow. Wow. Yeah, these, I love the, Jim's here making a big ruckus and interrupting the show. Hi, Jim.
I had to get through the wildebeests.
Yes. All right. So the comments, I love all the comments because they're mostly like WTF. Let's see. I typed in Stephanie Miller racist comments, and Stephanie Miller tells blacks how to behave, and the only thing that ever came up is this video. If you're going to rant and rave about some obscure comment, you could, at the bare minimum, be a halfway respectable presenter by relaying what she said.
Yeah. Maybe he could get some audio for his show like we did of him.
Right.
They can subscribe to the Stephcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Please. Please. The next comment, I shouldn't have to go looking for it in the first place. It is indicative of a god-awful presenter to do a four-minute commentary without bothering to tell people exactly what it is you're talking about. I thought I was the only one. I was like, what the hell did I say? All right. Hi, Jim. How are you? Okay.
I had to do e-auditions, I found out. And, of course, they wanted them in by 9 o'clock. Because has stuff to do before 9 a.m.?
No, nobody. Not like a real job that you need to be on time for or anything. Not like it's professional broadcasting.
Such an arduous commute from...
Yes, all right.
Second floor.
Yes, he's making fun of my commute.
You mean
the radio studio I put in at my own expense so you could still have a salary?
Okay. All right,
okay, don't hold me back.
So you can walk
You know
to
what
work.
It is, you know what it is? I'm just mad because I can't own black people.
That's it.
See, and Jim does not act like
according to this guy, is Zoe. They call him Zoe.
All right, whatever.
Zoe.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
A child is black. A child is white. The whole world looks upon the sight. A beautiful sight. Hey.
Come on. Get it. What a well-oiled machine we are. There's a song with cowbell in it, and I seamlessly go up to the cabinet behind me and get the cowbell for Jim so that we can have...
More cowbell.
Yeah.
The show needs is more cowbell.
Because we are Christopher walking on sunshine. Thank you very much.
Yes, we are.
And scene. Okay. That was an impromptu skit by the Stephanie Miller Players. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Boston in Baltimore. Somebody wants to defend me that I am not a licensed liberal racist. What?
Yep.
Hi, Boston.
Hello, Stephanie, darling. How are you?
Hello.
Listen to me. Don't believe that was a black man. That was a tea pub creature probably paid by the cokeheads, you know, to bring you down. I watch you every day. I love you. I love you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. So there.
Zo.
The brothers have spoken.
Zo, Zucks.
Hey, Jim.
Tell me about the dirty.
This is Pointing Up Week. As you know, the L.A. anchor that was famous during the earthquake for going, ooh! Earthquake. Now, it's a fisherman pointing. Plane! The plane! Everyone has turned into tattoo.
The plane!
The problem is with this whole story, a lot of these leads have turned out to be bogus, but
right.
I don't. Fishermen plain sighting a tip, a false lead, or an actual tip or a false lead. Fishermen from this village believe they may have seen the missing Malaysia Airlines flight on the night it disappeared, flying low over the Gulf of Thailand. Not clear whether what they saw was the flight or whether it was the latest in the string of false leads and a search for the missing plane. But if true, would suggest the plane may have flown low to avoid radar, which I thought we already knew. But they call that terrain masking, Jim.
Right.
Aha.
Okay, just saying.
Flying beneath the radar.
If any of you were planning that on your simulator later, your home flight simulator.
Oh, did you hear the latest about the simulator?
No.
I
know they took it. They got some data.
It's a simulator and a stimulator.
And it appears that someone...
Mine would be. How many attachments does it come with?
It appears that someone erased some data from that simulator.
Oh, really?
And they're using computer forensics to try and see what that data was.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Like
maybe...
So whoever lives in the home might be involved. I think that call for double drama stings. Whoever lives in the home might have erased it after the fact.
Or maybe it was just the place where he was planning to land that was in the computer. And that was what it's erased.
Or maybe his cat did it.
Or maybe it was cowbell.
All right. People are just waking up. Stop!
But, oh, God, no.
It's too noisy.
Oh, God.
That'll be good. What do you think of the Stephanie Miller Show? Noisy? It's noisy.
Noisy.
Yeah, it's loud.
You were just doing Veronica Cartwright.
I was. Veronica Cartwright.
Oh, God.
Alien. Veronica Cartwright and Alien.
Does that all the time. And I talked to her about that because we had the same agent, and she said that was genuine because they
didn't know that what was going to come out
right,
of John Hurt.
Right.
Do it again? I don't think I saw it.
You never saw Alien?
I saw clips of it. I don't see scary
when
movies.
When the alien pops out of John Hurt's stomach, Veronica Cartwright kind of cowers in the corner and goes, "Oh, God!"
Because she really got splattered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not special effects. Well, there were...
That was good,
era.
But not quite as good as your Joan Crawford and the Bering Wall.
No, I'm not going to do that because we have it already in there.
All right, fine.
It's in there.
Would you like to do anything? The Jessica Lange scene from what is that now?
I can't remember.
The Coven thing.
Yeah. I ended up not really liking that season. So.
Oh, well, yeah. Pardon you. What is the name of that show?
American Horror Story.
There you go.
That last season was Coven.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get it. Where she slit the woman's throat and she bled out on the carpet.
Yeah,
okay.
What this Coven need isn't a new Supreme. It needs a new rug.
I don't think you put your all into that.
Nah, I didn't.
All right. But
whatever.
You know what? A tepid tennis applause for you and that. Okay, so, investigators have chased other tips that turned out to be false leads, including an oil rig worker who saw something fall into the Gulf of Thailand last night, oil slicks, reports of floating luggage, what was believed to be the plane's upturned life raft, all have been investigated and determined to be bogus. So, I'm telling you, I don't know if it's just airtime they need to fill, but I guess the fishermen did see something, but they don't know if that was it or not. So, all right. Jeb Johnson, Homeland Security.
Jeh Johnson. I didn't know we had a new Homeland Security Secretary named Jeh.
His name is Jeh?
J-E-H.
Did
yes.
his parents just get lazy and
is it
mid-naming? Jeh? Let's call him Jeh.
Jeh.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's not like he'll ever amount to anything like the head of Homeland. Damn, we should have bought a consonant. Okay.
Insofar as domestic flights are concerned, insofar as flights out of the United States, and insofar as flights into the United States are concerned, we routinely check the Interpol database for stolen passports.
So far, I guess the two Iranians were the ones traveling with the stolen passports, but they haven't found any terrorist connections.
Yeah,
that.
We haven't heard much about them as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Although Peter King thinks they look terrorist-y.
Ah, well,
yeah.
Peter King.
They look terrorist-ish.
Uses spidey senses.
A terrorist-like substance.
Yes, exactly. All right. Anita in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
The plane was... how are you?
Good, go ahead. 30 seconds.
Oh, well, the plane was not flying under radar at 5,000 feet. It was flying at 29,500 the whole time. It never changed altitude. You can check Chris Hayes or Rachel Maddow's website or something. It never changed altitude.
That's interesting, though. There's conflicting reports about that because reports, they went really low.
Those
and
reports are coming from the Malaysian government. So.
Right, and then really high. And
yeah.
That's the other thing is, what is up with the Malaysian government? I mean, is it deliberate or not, the misinformation? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
this genius mystery DJ.
It was
Stephanie Miller.
But this phantom of the airwaves changed the very face of college radio.
It was
Stephanie Miller.
Your show sucked.
Where in the world is Diego Garcia?
In Indian Ocean.
Probably.
Yeah, boy. All right. Just theories abounding. You were saying, what is it, Wired Magazine?
Wired Magazine is reporting that it could have just been a simple electrical fire.
Well, and I'm reading Daily Beast. They're saying the same thing, that because of all the misinformation mm-hmm. coming out of Malaysia, they're saying this could have been, I guess this happened before, where, I'm not sure if it's the Payne Stewart one, but where there is something that happened that was a depressurization thing.
Right.
They all lost consciousness, including the, mm-hmm. the crew, you know,
right.
the pilots.
Yeah, the Wired Magazine article goes into a bunch of, you know,
right.
Ways that that electrical fire could have happened, and
right.
it sounds really, really plausible.
Yeah, Payne
right.
Stewart's plane kept flying on autopilot
right.
after everyone was dead.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And
no, that's what they're saying.
Was
I mean,
Idaho, somewhere.
Yeah,
up
yeah. I mean, some experts are saying that they said, if not for these stubborn assertions by Malaysia, I would have looked for a mechanical failure to explain the extremely strange trajectory of the 777, a pressurization problem leading to the loss of oxygen and consciousness by the air crew and passengers. So, yeah, that's the thing. And then it's like coming full circle to that maybe this was a mechanical thing, but that. Because that would explain it, too. If it caused loss of consciousness, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would just fly like this other plane they were talking about, like Payne Stewart's, until it crashes.
But would it fly erratically like the Malaysian government is reporting that it did?
I mean, that extreme hairpin turn. I mean, that,
I know.
That's hard to do on autopilot, though.
Right.
But then they're saying, was
it's
that
insane,
because
though.
Of something happened? You know, did they change trajectory because something mechanical happened?
Maybe the pilot slumped and hit the stick.
Right.
I don't fly a plane,
again,
so I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe he brought his cat into the cockpit.
No,
how
can't.
Much does Jazz like to walk across your
you
keyboard?
Don't.
You cause mayhem.
You can't do a coordinated turn by falling on the yoke.
Oh, I
listen, you wouldn't believe what's happened on my computer when I fall on my keyboard drunk. You have no idea.
Oh, I've gotten emails.
The emails I've sent.
That probably caused the earthquake.
What did she mean by your flarn? Did that mean fired? I hope not.
Just 89 lines of the letter Y. Like, oh, great, thanks.
Why?
Why?
You're like, is Nancy Kerrigan drunk emailing me? Megan in Chicago. Hey, Meg, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you guys help me out? I'm confused.
Yes.
The gentleman that made the video, Zoe, is his name?
Zoe.
Okay, so which is it? Because now he's calling you a racist.
Right.
I'm understanding his message. But weren't you just a couple of months ago referred to as a race traitor? I mean,
oh, that's
pick
right.
One.
Yeah, pick one.
Pick
am
one.
I an N-word lover, as I get called every other day? Or am I a licensed liberal racist against black people? Which can it be both? Exactly. I thought,
you're
I,
on
was,
your show
I, thought I was a bleep, bleep.
Black
vote.
Just what you said, what they call by your sneeze.
If you're a race traitor,
definitely I'm a race traitor, definitely talks on the show all day.
I'm a race
traitor.
Traitor.
When will we learn that you should with a harmless game?
You're a race traitor.
Race traitor. Maybe, maybe. But not to the after you.
You're a race traitor.
Race traitor. Maybe. It's amazing what they'll do.
Yeah, come on, traitor.
Race traitor. Maybe.
Thanks, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Well, that's the thing that I see. I am actually the only one that can reunite the races, both in hating me. Because that was a white guy that called in and said I'm a race traitor
exactly.
against whites. And then this black guy says I'm racist against blacks. So you see? And all I know is that you appear to be on whoever's side hates me.
Well.
Because you jumped right into that. I heard you in there. Yeah, race traitor.
Well, you know, conflict makes for good radio. I'm a producer. I produce.
You're for whatever makes me look worse.
Well, you know.
Pat in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie
None
Moon
of
show.
Us are reproducers.
Yeah.
Good morning, all.
Hey, Pat.
Two quick notes.
And that's not for lack of trying with you, Jim. Just saying.
The whoever that was supposed to be black with that last race rant.
Zoe.
Yes, Zoe.
That was not a black man.
No, it was. I saw the video. There's a video. It's on YouTube. It's not just an audio.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then, my apologies for that. He shouldn't be.
Well, you know what, Pat? Maybe it's funded by didn't the RNC just put out a bunch of ads with just all these multicolored people talking mm-hmm. about how much they hate President Obama?
Oh, yeah. Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Checks in the mail.
Secondly, the term thug. A thug is someone who does harm.
Right.
The Republican people have the cornered market. They do harm to people. They do physical harm. Take away their food stamps
yes.
or whatever that they need to eat. Take away their food, their health care, and take their money. They're doing that. They need to turn the mirror.
And Pat, they use, you know, dog whistle code words that any idiot knows what Paul Ryan's talking about when he says inner city and culture.
Those panty waist Democrats would call them on some of these things, and it wouldn't be hard to do.
You know who
come up against them. It's not that hard.
You know who did, Pat? Our buddy Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from out here who we love. She said, you know, stop saying culture, inner city. We know what you mean. You mean black.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we need more Dems to stand up. I mean, there are some strong voices, but they can't fight the fight alone.
You listen, you've got race traitors like me on your side. You know what I'm saying? I am happy to come to the...
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all be well.
All right, you too. You too, Pat. All right. Pardon me?
The guy from the 90s, Mr. Cat Mitzox. Perhaps he was playing blackface.
Zox. Oh, that was when we gave Ken Starr a German accent.
Yeah, yes. Because he sounded like an interrogator.
And right.
I was barking dogs. When,
right.
Yes.
And he was interrogating the Clinton's cat.
Yes.
Zox. Who did that? Carlos Alzraki, sexy liberal, who will be here in hour number three. Yeah, we just have, like, random phrases from Jim and Carlos Spitz from, like, 12 years ago.
No, I came up with the Zozox, I think.
Really?
That was me, I think.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Right. Well, we'll go. We have the CD right behind me. We'll find out.
Okay.
Let's go to Christian in Georgia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christian.
Good morning, Steph and guys.
Good morning.
We should have more of you sexy liberals here in Georgia, that's for sure.
Georgia.
Yikes.
Georgia.
Too many conservatives for me. But, hey, listen, you guys were talking about just recently the airplane mystery and mechanical failure, slumping pilots and all that. But just this morning on CNN, of course, now the breaking news or the new news is that the program that diverted the flight was actually programmed 12 minutes before the final voice, whatever, good night, whatever that was. So then that probably rules out any mechanical failure if it was
programmed. I thought, see, this is what's so confusing about this Malaysian, you know, the information, because I thought that was the opposite. I thought they're saying that, you know, obviously it would have been very suspicious had, you know, it happened before the pilot said goodnight. But the latest information they said
is... We're talking about the sharp left turn?
No, the turning off the transponder and the other...
Okay. Yeah. And
Hakar.
No, not that, but actually the sharp left turn,
right.
That was programmed 12 minutes before.
That's what he's talking about.
They turned off the
final... Yeah.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Programmed into the computer.
Wait, before they said goodnight or before the transponder was turned off?
No. Before they say goodnight.
Okay.
Yeah, so the autopilot?
Now, my timeline on this has been so screwed up in my head because Malaysia keeps going back and forth.
That's what I mean. It's the complete opposite piece of information.
Right.
And you know, again, like I said yesterday, Bush administration, evil or incompetent? Who can say on a daily basis? This is the latest I was reading from Daily Beast, the tripwire on Flight 370. The moment the transponder turned off means everything to the investigation. It happened after the pilot said things were okay. That would mean that this is what we've been talking about for a few days. Critically, it would mean that the transponder turned off at 1:22 a.m., 3 minutes after the final words from the cockpit. The number of suspects suddenly grows larger, right? Because, you know, if it were before, you go, well, obviously it was the pilots.
Mm-hmm.
The transponder is really the tripwire for whatever began to unfold on that jet. It identifies the airplane to traffic controllers, confirms its position. As long as it appeared that the transponder was deactivated before the final voice report, it left open the possibility that the pilots lied to air traffic control and were themselves already embarked upon a pre-planned series of actions that would allow the flight to vanish. Investigators would consider the political context. There's all these theories coming out because obviously, you know, what they're talking about is the 1976, when the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, remember, they hijacked a French Airbus flying from Israel to France, and they demanded the release of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jail. So they're looking at that, too. Are there people on this plane that, for political reasons, they would want to kidnap and ransom? Right now, they're just saying there's no clue of any of this. There's no clue of the motivation.
No demands have been made.
Right. No claims of responsibility. Yeah, and then this, you know, we were talking about just the mechanical stuff that some people are still saying maybe because of this misinformation from Malaysia, we're overlooking that it could have been a pressurization problem. He said, I've always cited the case of Helios Airways Flight 522 in 2005, where a Boeing 737 suffered an uncontrolled decompression of the cabin and its cockpit. The pilots were incapacitated, and the airplane continued its flight from Cyprus to Greece on automatic pilot until it ran out of fuel and crashed into a mountain, killing
But that's
everybody.
Not what happened here, because it made a sharp left turn. It doesn't do that by itself.
Right, right. The left turn made by Flight 370 could signify the captain attempting to reach one of the nearby airports, either in Malaysia or Vietnam, but by the time the turn was executed, the flight crew could have succumbed to hypoxia. The flight is now thought to have continued for at least another 6 hours, given the fuel supply. Anyway, so and that's the theory that it ended up in the Indian Ocean on autopilot.
If they did make that sharp turn for whatever reason, right. Why wouldn't they have reported that if right. he was diverting to another airport?
Right.
Or
they,
something.
They end by saying what I thought. Flight 370 is just different. It might be that there are no precursors, that nothing like this has happened before. I mean, that's the thing. There's right. just every day it seems there's more questions than actual answers that, you know, that clear anything up. All right, let's take one more quick one. Frank in Kansas City, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Frank, hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
Hmm. Okay,
what?
Frank.
Hello?
Frank
what?
Is stumbling around. We will let him get his shizzle
bless
together.
His heart.
We will come back with that. All right.
Sound like he dropped his phone or something.
In his pants. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces, by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use that promo code Stephanie. That's where we rehearse the witty insults that you will pepper me with in the morning.
And don't forget to get down and boogie, oogie, oogie.
Right,
yes,
right.
Very
please,
important.
Please, we advise you. 50 minutes after the hour, we were just going through, pardon me? What are you pointing out?
Oh, I have that Veronica Cartwright thing if you want.
Oh, you do? Oh, from Alien. Yes, that's
yes.
more important. Let's do that.
Listen to me.
Let's do that.
Shut up.
Are you allowed to talk to me that way?
I don't know.
Apparently.
Well, I've said
are.
Worse.
Yes. You're still here.
Yeah, so.
Why? Who else would spend this much time with me?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's the first woman that ever saw Jim's manhood.
Oh.
No, that's. That's just the first section.
No,
all right, now,
no.
Jim.
I wish that were true, but it's not.
My point
I
is...
I would never wear pants if that were the case.
Listen, all I know is the girls are... Squee! How many girls
squee.
In Chicago are saying squee? We're booking Jim's flight to Chicago. Yours we're getting for, you know, for right. Sexy Liberal
yep.
next month. Very, very exciting. The big Chicago theater show. I just love this. You know how we get, like, tons of spam? You do, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not even spam, just...
Spam, spam, spam,
I don't know
spam,
how,
spam, spam,
right,
spam, press releases, spam. Pitches.
But to thank Jim, because people adore seeing... Well, you know, you, not so much. But Jim
yeah.
is kind of a big deal.
A big effing deal.
You will be hosting... you will be the fine MCs for the Chicago show.
Yep.
Sexy Liberal Carlos Alzraki here in hour number three. Okay, this is... I don't know what kind of music I have. This was just hilarious. Someone named Valentina, Jim. I feel like I need to do this for you.
Valentina.
Right, from Glam Model Management. Hello, Stefan. I noticed that your company will be exhibiting in Chicago next month. Do you plan on hiring any trade show models, booth assistants, etc.?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Maybe I should get one of those for Jim. If so, please let me know if you'd like to receive a free no-hassle quote. Glam Model Management is a fully licensed agency specializing in trade shows, and we can provide talent nationwide. Don't you think I need a trade show model or a booth? Maybe we'll have a Jim Ward booth at Chicago Theater, and I will hire like a booth assistant in a bikini.
No.
So we'll go, look, Jim Ward. Here is Jim Ward.
In Phoenix, you roped my partner into being a booth model.
Oh, well, he's hot.
And I think you bought him a drink. That was his payment. You know,
as long as,
he didn't need a quote.
As long as it's not a John Wilkes booth model in a theater. Come on,
I need a booth assistant for Jim Ward. I do. Like a car model. Look.
Hello.
It's the Emmy Award-winning voice deity.
2014 Jim.
Do you dare me to do that?
No, with more horsepower.
Jim will be on stage doing his little voices, and I'll just have a girl in a bikini going.
That might be distracting.
Ooh, look, Robert De Niro. No, maybe she'll present each of your voices.
With the Price is Right, a flick of the wrist.
Exactly. All right. And Albuquerque in May, and then Minneapolis in June. Oh, by the way, Ted, Mama, love your show. I wanted to let you know I just bought my tickets to Sexy Liberal Minneapolis. Squee, bringing my sister, who's repaying me by getting me a ticket to 30 Seconds to Mars, which is Jared Leto's band. So thank you and Jared Leto for giving us an awesome excuse for sibling bonding time. Jared Leto and I, thank you. We talk nearly every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So back to the ghost plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Scooby, where'd it go? Scooby.
Okay. I bet you it's in the haunted amusement park.
I blame those meddling kids.
Yeah.
Those damn kids. Hello, Johnny in Texas. Hi, Johnny.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't hear no like I normally hear when I'm calling my local radio station.
Mm. No, this
anyway,
is a professional national broadcast.
I have a question about that aircraft.
Yes.
Well, yes.
No one's explained to me how it is you make a commercial aircraft make a sharp turn and the passengers not be alerted to that and start wondering what's going on and maybe saying, oh, we're going to die, and they start phoning home to say, I love you. How is it that they make a sharp turn? Because people know, even the least traveled person knows, when you get on a commercial aircraft, it's always smooth lines.
Right.
It's never sharp turns like in a car on a freeway.
Oh, well, no, wait a minute, Johnny. I mean, let's put ourselves in that position. You might not know. They might be trying to evade something.
That was a really sharp turn.
Yeah.
They don't do that in airliners. That just doesn't happen.
Right, but I mean, that's a good question. Unless but then why didn't anybody phone?
They were up at 29,000 feet and they'd already been unconscious.
Right, that's which they're saying was that deliberate, so people couldn't text.
Right.
Because, you know, if his theory's right, then yeah, why didn't anybody text if they? But I'm just saying sometimes I have a friend just recently said, "Oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened to me on a flight." He said, the pilot came on during the flight and said, "Everybody, get in your seats. Flight attendant, sit down. We have to dive." Everybody in the plane was like, oh, my God. But somebody in air traffic must have screwed up that you could see another plane.
Oh, God.
Out the window, and he had to do a, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it was terrifying, and thank God they were okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were like, stewardesses, just sit down. Oh, not stewardesses. They didn't say stewardesses.
No,
then they would kill them.
Flight attendants.
Right. They just said, wherever you are, just sit down. We have to dive. And I know, like, that wouldn't make you poo, right? Yeah, we have to what now? I'm sorry. Did you say what now? I had my Bose noise-canceling headphones on. I almost thought you said dive.
You did until the negative G's pulled them off your head.
Yeah,
and
slammed them against the ceiling.
Yeah.
All right. Greg Fife.
That's why you fasten your seatbelt.
Yes.
Exactly. I always fasten my seatbelt.
Of course. I always do, too.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
You don't even do it when you're driving.
I mostly do.
Yeah. You don't do it when you drive, do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you really?
I don't sometimes put the shoulder thing on. I put it on here.
Yeah, well, that doesn't do anything.
Useless. You're going to slam against the steering wheel.
You're going to bang your head against the steering wheel in a crash. And you're going to die, and then we're going to be out of a job.
Assuming you have airbags, functioning airbags on your car.
Assuming that I don't get hit in the head by my bronzed ass that is right above
in
me.
In the next earthquake.
In the next earthquake.
Yeah.
Which I am just praying for. If I have to choose a way to die, oh, funny.
You hit in the head by your own ass? That's hard to do.
Right?
Don't you have to be in Cirque du Soleil?
See?
Pretty much.
Well, you won't be sad when I die anyway, but except for the job
thing. I
think
Pink can probably do that.
But. Well, I think we can.
John Fugelsang did a great job.
Yeah, we'll just call him in.
Be out of work for a second, as long as it takes him to fly here. Sit down.
I don't even think we'd have to miss a show.
But see,
get
right?
him on an
you
afternoon flight.
Yeah. You just replace the bronze. You like scrape the brain matter off my ass.
Exactly. But, you know, spray some Windex on it. They're good as new.
Windex.
Looks like
you don't even want to touch the bronze version. You're like, Jim, you get that. It's kind of gory. I don't want that upset, John. But anyway, you wouldn't be sad anyway, but other people that might presumably have some human feeling for me wouldn't have to be sad. They would have to laugh.
Really?
Right. Yes. Okay, so where were we?
Yes,
here we go.
Some pilots will program in an alternate flight plan in the event of an emergency. We don't know what the reason was for this particular flight plan, whether to go back to Kuala Lumpur or take the airplane somewhere away from Beijing.
Right. That's the other thing that's confusing, is they're saying sometimes they do that as, you know, in case of emergency.
Sure.
But to me, the most damning thing is the stuff that just came out this morning that you were talking about, that the simulator they took from his home, the pilot's home,
had something erased.
Had data erased.
I was just reading an article that said that that's actually kind of common.
Everything that you think, ha-ha, check it!
But all of us are just talking out of our asses because we've never flown a plane or been in a simulator.
Every single person in America is a talk radio host.
I have flown a plane.
Well, right. Yeah.
Not a 777.
No.
Yeah.
I haven't landed it.
Okay. Normally you need a license to talk out of your ass for 3 hours a day. But listen, everybody.
The FCC
everybody,
used to require it.
Everybody.
They don't need more.
I have my license somewhere. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Michael Tomasky. One of my very favorite writers in the entire world. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, sexy liberal Carlos Alzraki for Coffee with Carlos in all of hour number three live in studio. Speaking of our favoriteest writers in the entire world, Jim, who said of Bill Kristol's latest warmongering, me, you monstrous, bloodthirsty fraud, you silly, stupid chicken hawk mother...
Oh, dear.
Who plays army man with the children of people who are so much better than you are and who would feed innocent civilians in lands you will never visit into your own personal meat grinder to service your semi-annual martial erection. Who said that?
Angelina Jolie.
No, that's a good guess, though. No, Charlie Pierce.
Really?
We just had on yesterday, who's apparently channeling Rude Pundit as well.
Wow.
Our other favorite writer. Who said you and the rest of your cowardly cohort helped prepare the ground for the worst geopolitical mistake the country has made in 30 years? You fought the battle of the green rooms and the think tanks while other people's sons and daughters died for your fantasy of how the world would work if you were the pimply adolescent Zeus you see when you look in the mirror every morning.
Yikes. John Voight.
No, I just told you, Charlie Pierce. Wrote this of
close.
Oh my God, did you see the fight with him and Bill Maher a couple weeks ago? They were mad. That was real.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was on a Bill Maher show. The country does not need your lectures anymore. The country does not need your counsel. The country does not need your advice. And as sure as human beings have become dead because of your lectures and counsel and advice, human beings about whom you otherwise care nothing, the country does not need your hectoring that it has become insufficiently bellicose to fulfill your newest blood-drenched fantasies. Who said that?
Pierce Brosnan.
My friend knows him, though. Okay, says he's a very nice man. Lives in Malibu, New York. Okay. And he finishes by saying, you should be driven from polite society, consigned to an ideological molokai so you can no longer infect the rest of us. People should shun you. You should wear the bell for the rest of your miserable days.
Wow.
Charlie Pierce.
I want to hear what Charlie was fighting with Phil about.
What's that?
I want to hear what...
No, Bill Kristol was on.
Oh, Bill Kristol.
And we were... A friend of mine and I were watching. You know how you see TV
Ooh,
all the time?
Wow.
Like, TV
that must
fights, and you're like, oh, no, this is real. This is a real, like, you know... Because he's doing his usual warmongering stuff. Nothing's ever, you know...
It's not war-y enough.
Manly and war-y and, you know, bomby enough for Bill Kristol.
And how many wars has Bill Kristol fought?
No, he makes me as mad as he does Charlie Pierce, because you're just like, shut up. You got us into Iraq, you and your friends, you know? Why, you don't get to have a place at the table anymore. Pardon me. I'm emotional, you know why? I got this this love letter, which is, you know, we just had our friend Melissa Fitzgerald, who is our hot brie in the city, who is the Senior Director of Justice for Vets, and we've been talking about a lot of these issues, about the suicide rate, you know. You know, and a lot of this is because of the people like Bill Kristol that we send these kids in, first of all, to an unnecessary war. Uh-huh. And
keep them there for 10 deployments.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, some of these horrible and when suicide deaths have passed combat deaths, there is something wrong, and you'll read that. Jim and I were just commenting on a story a couple weeks ago, Chris, where it was like, oh, after his sixth deployment, and you're like, oh, what?
Yeah, six?
Yeah. I mean, what if you're on your ninth deployment, and, you know, and the first day of your ninth deployment, you get half your head blown off.
Yeah.
You know, after you can't keep people in combat for that long. I mean, they're going to get killed or maimed.
Yeah. I mean, the PTSD, you know, ripple effect is something that is just horrific that we don't,
it's not something you can see on them, too. It's not, you know, like missing a limb or something. It's much harder to treat.
Yeah. I mean, we as a nation, we don't go, what, More of our soldiers are killing themselves than are dying in battle. Yeah. There's not something terribly, horribly wrong. But this one was personal. Wow. Travis said a dad called and didn't want to go on the air but sent this letter, and it just broke my heart. And that's why, you know, when I happened to read the Charlie Pierce thing about Bill Kristol, mm-hmm. He writes, this message is for Stephanie. Our daughter would have been 28 years old today. She mm-hmm. loved your show so much, it drove us crazy. She would listen to you on the radio and DVR the show at the same time. She was badly disfigured in Iraq, and three days before Christmas took her life. Oh, wow. Thank you for bringing her some joy. We sent you her favorite picture when she was in Iraq. Her name was Sarah, and we miss her so much.
Mm.
That's made me cry, and she's braiding a little Iraqi girl's hair. All right.
Yeah, and this stuff is endless. You know, how many bad guys do you have to kill before you decide you've won?
Yeah.
And how many innocent civilians do you kill in the process?
Yeah.
And...
Oh, boy. All right. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, and now a story about a dog. I'm not going to cry. Okay. Let's see. Luisa says, give Max and Fred some hugs for me and my gaggle of Irish setters. I just love the names Rainier, Vanna, and Sheldon. I love anyone that names a dog after an accountant.
Sheldon.
Sheldon.
Sheldon the dog.
Here is 10-month-old Sheldon in his play tunnel. Oh, Sheldon! Oh. Sheldon's in his play tunnel!
Sheldon, why the long face? Sheldon's an Irish setter. How do you get a name like Sheldon?
Are you related to Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
Nah. Chris and Jim, my three cats, Zadia, Sailor, and Ichabod, say hi.
Ichabod?
Ichabod.
Oh,
as in Ichabod Crane, right?
Pet naming. Sheldon!
Sheldon O'Reilly.
Sheldon, stop with the barking. The flaming eyes.
Stop with the barking.
Stop barking at the lady, Sheldon. Okay. All right. And also...
I mean, it's Sid and Sadie's dog. Sheldon.
Sheldon.
Jeff from Salem. This is for you, Natan, our free speech TV director.
Uh-huh.
Can we get a dedicated Max and Fred camera?
Well...
I'm guessing we can't afford that.
Well, they'd have to be... in the air down the track.
Well, no, I say them on. Strap a GoPro to one of their foreheads.
Yeah, Natan, get on that. Stop lazing around over there. Lollygagging, as my mom would say. Hi, Steph, Chris and Jim. As much as I enjoy watching you, the show itself, Max and Fred are visually captivating. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I'm falling in puppy love with them. They are so beautiful. I just want to hold them and hug them and pet them and squeeze them and pat them. Is there any way you could arrange a dedicated camera so I can enjoy their company while listening? I promise to pay attention and laugh in the right places. No, you won't. You will be mesmerized by the handsomeness and romanticness of Max and Fred. I was just out there during the commercial break talking to them near Travis, and I think I heard Travis just throw up in his mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Because now you have to listen to it for 3 hours. It's a me, but I don't ever. I'm all handsome and most romantic. Okay. Speaking of which, I have a new future husband.
My cat would claw my nose off if I talked to him like that.
Oh, handsome man. Okay. Here's my new future husband.
You have very neurotic cats.
One of them, she's very demanding of the petting and all that. But the other one is like, don't bother me.
Okay. Did you see this guy? South Carolina pub gets crap for banning guns.
Oh, yeah.
He put up this sign in his window. No concealed weapons allowed. If you're such a loser, you feel a need to carry a gun when you go out. I do not want your business, douchebag.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and so, of course, the gun nuts heads have one by one
exploded. I'm afraid for his life.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're kind of playing with fire there.
Are the food and service any good at Backstreet's Pub and Deli in Clemson, South Carolina? I don't know, but I do know this. The bar owner has big brass ones and no qualms about tussling with Second Amendment nuts. At some point on St. Patrick's Day, they snapped a photo of this. And the Yelp reviews, as it turns out, from the gun nuts, not good.
Oh.
Nearly 300 reviews from pro-gun nuts. Food sucks, overpriced. Owner's a blatant liberal idiot that uses the establishment as a cover for his meth lab in the back. I hope his business fails and the owner commits suicide.
Oh, that's nice.
Very nice. Very,
and those
very,
are the people
very,
who have guns.
Right, right. Those are the responsible gun owners we've heard so much about.
Good guys with guns. We're going to shoot a guy for exercising his First Amendment rights.
So the owner said, sorry, but I'm not sorry. If you feel the need to bring a gun into a college bar, you're a douchebag. If you're drinking, you are violating the law. He later added he himself is a gun owner fed up with irrational gun nuts, and the sign was temporary. He put up a sign that said, those were temporary signs, you mouth-breathing morons. None of you guys even come in here. Come on. Come on.
Reset. Don't call me a mouth-breathing moron.
Okay. By the way, Jim, I think you mentioned this the other day, but so the latest victim of the gun nuts, this mm-hmm. from Salon, Dr. Vivek Murthy, a Harvard and a Yale-educated physician who President Obama nominated to serve as a Surgeon yep. General back in November. In non-clinical capacities, his crimes are being an Obama ally and an advocate for more restrictive gun regulations, which means his nomination must be destroyed. He had the audacity, Jim, to say that perhaps being shot is bad for your health.
Hmm. Interesting idea.
Mm-hmm.
Typical liberal.
Right. Murthy has described gun violence as a public health issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
And for that reason, the NRA has taken unusual interest in his nomination, scoring votes for his confirmation against their annual ratings of elected officials and working NRA members into a panic over the possibility the nation's top doctor will cite public health concerns to take away their guns. It's been less than 2 weeks since the White House watched a handful of frightened Senate Democrats help Republicans defeat the nominee to run the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. Many of those same Democrats are scared to vote for Murthy, so the White House is recalibrating its strategy to say,
his nomination is
recalculating roots because of see Democrats. Mm-hmm. Recalculating. Really? Really? Is that that's an outrageous thing for a top doctor to say? You know
no.
what?
Getting shot multiple times is really bad for your health.
Right.
A little bit.
It's one of the worst things.
Right. 3 out of 4 dentists say getting shot in the mouth might be bad.
It's worse than
for
cigarettes.
Your teeth.
And that fourth dentist, he's a douchebag.
He's a gun nut douchebag.
He's a mouth-breathing gun nut.
Brian Buehler finishing in Salon. If Democrats enable that instinct, they ought to be embarrassed. If the alcohol and tobacco lobbies tried to defeat a Surgeon General nominee for acknowledging that drinking and smoking are public health issues, Democrats would laugh them out of the room. But by the same token, they, along with the general public, including the gun-owning public, shouldn't allow the NRA to shield firearms from the kind of scrutiny that attends to other risky products.
Yep. Like cars, for example. There are regulations on cars. There are certain things you shouldn't do with cars, like run over people.
Well, and cars are built for other things besides right. just killing people. Guns are just made for killing mm-hmm. people and things.
Or for making a political point.
Shocking. If you can't take a few bullets, you know. Okay. Wow. So that happened.
We all let it happen.
Yes, we did. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free, Jim in Illinois. Hey, Jim, welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
I record your show every morning.
Yay.
I'm a retired man. I live on fixed income, and I go to work at from 4 to 8 a.m. every day.
Ah.
Supplement, you know.
Right.
And I came in. Make this quick. Got the television on.
Right.
Hit the play button on your recording, only to hear as I was drawing coffee this rant that this black man was going on about you.
Right. He said I'm a licensed liberal racist.
Yeah, that's really, really. Well, because of you and all your flaws, sarcasm.
Oh, I see.
I support Free Speech TV. I never made a contribution before, but in the name of your show, now it's not much. You know, I'm not going to go to spin class. We'll never have lunch. You know, but
in our dreams, we will.
But will you at least get a coffee mug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get a coffee mug and the bag.
Oh, Jim,
awesome.
Thank you very much.
Which I will proudly display. But my point is, and I really got, I mean, even at 70 years old, I can get angry. And it's not good to go that way.
Oh, Jim, thank
but
you
that
for...
man,
yeah.
If he'd have been in my presence, his mouth was cutting checks his ass ain't about to cover.
How much do I love that saying? Jim, thank you, and I love you. Thank you very much.
We have no right to talk. I know you're a celebrity. I know all of you are. You
Yikes.
Put your personal life out there. Aww. You get whatever income you make, and it comes with the territory. But doesn't that speak volumes of how we have degraded as a society? America's in deep trouble. I'm fortunate. I won't see the end.
Oh,
Jim,
know, thank you very much. You have touched my heart. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate it, okay?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Jim. You
I
too.
Enjoy your show so much every morning. It brings me joy. I have two of my five cats even watch it on the ottoman.
We have a captive audience. Jim, thank you. I love you.
Well, like you do with those dogs, Stephanie. I mean, my God. They're beautiful, though.
Thank you, honey.
They
all right.
Beautiful animal.
Jim, take
goodbye
care.
And
kiss,
have a good day.
All right, you
thank
kiss,
you for allowing me to speak with you.
Thank you. Kiss the kitties for us. Okay.
We have a captive audience.
How great is our audience? Seriously.
Yeah.
He's on a fixed income. And he gave money to Free Speech TV for Mama and the Mooks. There's a lot of things that are making me cry this morning.
Really?
And menopause is long. It's in the way in the rearview mirror. So it's not that.
I'm sure you get little spikes of estrogen that make you cry like a girl.
It is. What do you mean, like a girl? Listen, just be lucky he called us celebrities. Whatever.
He called you a celebrity.
No, he said we all are.
Really?
Whatever. Listen, he has a low bar for celebrities, and be grateful.
Meet Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yeah, exactly.
So I know I'm not a celebrity when I go on vacation last week and people meet me.
Yep.
And they ask what I do. They always ask, what's the name of the show? I'm like, well, you obviously haven't heard of it.
Just say it's eponymous.
Never mind.
Eponymous. Yeah.
That's, the eponymous show.
Yeah.
Hippoponymous.
All right. Go to freespeech.org like Jim just did on a fixed income, ladies and gentlemen. Or call 1-877-378-8669.
Well, that's better than a broken income.
Jim,
which is what you're going to have if you keep that up.
By the way.
Sorry. What?
All right. Where was I? Oh, Burr? I can't remember where I was now. See, now you've thrown me off.
You asked for cut 8?
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Numero ocho.
About the ghost plane.
Yeah.
This would be a very elaborate scheme. They would have had very, very extensive training to pull this off.
Wait.
The pilots.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Who did we think they meant?
What?
Okay.
Siegfried and Roy. I don't know.
Exactly. Maybe it was like
just
magic.
Trying to reset here.
All right.
Focus. Focus.
Oh, I was going to say, I know where. Here, it's back. It's back, everybody. Nobody help me. Nobody touch Mama.
Just in time for us to go to break.
Right. No, Wikipedia. Someone has a, because, you know, anyone can edit your Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm,
someone has
right.
a sense of humor because it says Stephanie Louise Miller, American. My middle name's not Louise. It's Catherine. But okay. That's funny. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I really need you to be on your game, you know. A lot of our fans have gone through rehab, so they're much more critical.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. I think it here, and he writes it there.
Really?
Yep. Michael Tomasky's new piece, What Florida Really Tells Us About Obamacare. Good morning, Michael.
Hey there.
It's a little, he's a friend with a flirt. So, Michael, I have been saying this over and over again. I know other people have mentioned it, but, you know, about Democrats not panicking about things, you know, particularly in an election year. And obviously everybody started panicking over the Florida.
What are we supposed to not panic about?
Just settle down, Jim. What? Michael will tell you.
Okay.
You say, forget the conventional wisdom. The health care issue actually helped Alex Sink a little. Democrats must learn from it. Explain what you mean by that.
Well,
Jeff Guerin is the Democratic pollster who did Sink's polling. Okay, so listeners should take that for what it's worth. Democratic pollster, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But he asked people some interesting questions about health care. He basically paraphrased the standard conservative criticisms of Sink and Obamacare to people, and then he paraphrased the standard liberal criticisms of David Jolly, Sink's opponent, the Republican who won, and Republican attacks on Obamacare. You know, the former being that, you know, she wants you to, she's going to take $716 billion out of Medicare and other things, and the latter being that he wants to go back to a world where insurers can discriminate on the basis of pre-existing conditions, et cetera.
Right.
And his results showed that the attacks on Jolly actually did a little bit more harm to him than the attacks on Sink did to her. So I thought that was very interesting. It was interesting and, to me, you know, valid the way he phrased the questions. And I think it showed that if Democrats, instead of being defensive and afraid and sort of vaguely, you know,
right.
you know, scared of talking about Obamacare, if they play some offense with it and say that the Republican position would let insurers go back to all these practices that
right.
people don't like, that they can at least get a draw out of it in most places.
Well, and as you say, Washington's, you know, conventional wisdom, quote-unquote, trademark, becomes, you know, congeals immediately. This is all about Obamacare. It's going to doom the Democrats in November. But, you know, again, I think this is a really interesting point. You say in the polling there are at least three things Democrats can say about the law, and Republicans' repeals yield that poll really well, and the things you just alluded to, discrimination against pre-existing conditions, the insurers can no longer drop sick people on a whim, and they're getting to know the law prevents insurers from charging women more than men, and they like that too, even men. So, you know, and I think the other thing, Michael, I think that you've also talked about is, the, you know, the Republicans know this too. It's why they're suddenly starting to talk about, like, their own plans, which are really non-existent, but they feel like, right, they need to address that they basically have nothing to replace this with.
Yeah, and this was really, I think, the most interesting, personally, I think this was the most interesting part of the column, but, you know, Republicans, they always start talking about their own version of health care during election season. So in the spring of 2010, they stopped talking about repeal
right.
and mm-hmm. started talking about repeal and replace.
Right.
Just so they could go out on the campaign trail, their candidates, and say, oh, we don't just want to repeal it, we have a plan. Then, after the election, they dropped it, and they cast all those votes again just on straight repeal. Now,
51.
It's election time again, and now they're talking again about having their own plan. It's just an electoral device so they can say to people, we have a plan. There's no substance to it at all.
Yeah, and as you say, there are real things. You say there's one more thing that people don't know very well, but the polling indicates could be also a strong debating point. Under the law, insurers have to publicly justify any rate increases greater than 10%. You know, Jackie Schechner, our healthcare expert, who's with us here every week, Michael, says this all the time, that you know, that's the other thing we have to talk about, is not blaming Obamacare for things the insurers are doing that they always did, you know. But at least, you know, there is some, and you know, this is part of the problem with a private health insurance system. But at least there are some controls in Obamacare for this, right?
Yeah, and there's already some evidence, according to a couple of studies that I've looked at, that insurers are just not even doing 10% rate increases because they don't want the extra oversight. They don't want, you know, they don't want to have to answer the extra questions. So it's already kind of preemptively working in some cases. The hard thing, Stephanie, of course, is that our rates go up most years, all of us.
Right.
And anytime anybody's rates go up, the Republicans just say, aha, see, Obamacare.
Yeah.
And most people will just believe it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then, you know, you go to the other core of the matter. You say turnout question is the biggest one. And that's the other big thing to take from Florida. Democrats didn't turn out. Obamacare activates the Republican base. But,
yeah.
You know, the problem is if we don't activate our base on defense, right? And you
yeah.
say that's the other thing. As a bonus, Democrats show they have some fight in them and give those unmotivated young and Latino voters a good reason to go to the polls.
Well, they have to do that. 50,000 fewer people voted in that Florida special election than voted in that district in 2010. and 160,000, I think, voted in the presidential year. And most of that drop-off is Democratic. And so, you know, how do you motivate these people to get to the polls? I don't know. It's a decades-long mystery that, you know, I'm not going to solve.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that one way is to defend the law and say it's doing good things. And, you know, you are benefiting from it if you're under 26. You know, you're benefiting from it if you're a working class person who makes, you know, $40,000 a year and you're getting a subsidy and so on and so on. You know, they can't scurry away from it. It's just too deflating.
Well, and the other thing, you know, I don't know if you read Paul Krugman's piece recently about, you know, healthcare horror hooey. I mean, that's the other thing,
yeah,
is they got to, you know, really punch up the fact that all of these Obama horror stories they put forward so far are complete BS. Have been easily debunked.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, these are presumably the ones that are best researched because they're using, yeah, them in official Republican ads and such, right?
It's amazing. And again, this part of it is really, really frustrating because, you know, apparently a lot of these people, and, you know, I don't want to denounce them. This one woman in Michigan has cancer. I mean, God bless her.
Right.
But apparently a lot of these folks, they're not even bothering to go to the website,
right,
to,
yeah,
see what their options are because they're just so dug in against it. And then when they're told, as this woman in Michigan was, apparently by the Detroit News, reporters from the Detroit News, but you do have these options that would in fact save you $1,200 a year, and folks just say, well, I don't believe that. That can't possibly be true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I just happened to be looking at a headline right in front of me, Wendy Davis, one step closer to turning Texas purple. I mean, what I hate is just, I think as you do, just the defeatism and the everybody buying the you know, conventional wisdom and getting dispirited, and that's what they're hoping for, to depress turnout. Everyone's like, oh, she's not going to win. And the polls have just narrowed again. She actually does have a shot of turning Texas purple.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, you know, people just have to... People have to be convinced to believe that it can happen, and that, you know, Democrats just have to say that. I mean, they say, operatives say, I've spoken to them, that, you know, that they're working on a turnout model that's far more expansive than anything they've ever used in any previous midterm election. So, you know, I hope so. We'll see how it works.
Michael, I'm a girl, yeah, with a dream. I can dream that on election night 2016, I just want to see Karl Rove's face on Fox News when Texas turns incredibly blue for President Clinton.
In 2016, eh?
There you go.
Okay, well, I won't dash that dream.
All right, thank you, Michael. All right, Michael, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes.
Yay.
It's my Michael Tomasky.
It is.
I'm very sort of, you know, ownership-oriented of my writers. When I see them on TV, I'm like, that's my writer. My writer.
He's very good on TV.
And he's handsome.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, this is Sally Cohn in the Daily Beast. Oh, look, Jim is scribbling a comedy bit. That can only mean good tidings for all,
yay,
of us.
Yay, good tidings of great joy.
Okay, but still pay attention now. Pay attention. Look at me. Hi. Hi. Oh, my gosh, you're so handsome. This is exciting. Hi. Wendy Davis. Look at that. One step closer to turning Texas purple. This is what happens. We have one bad poll. Granted, the president's number is not good now, but it's because a lot of this garbage, mm-hmm, that people hear on a daily basis, and people panic and go, oh, my God. A new poll shows Wendy Davis within single digits now of her Republican opponent. One more sign that Texas's voters are no longer reliably red. Let's start by stating the obvious. It is hard for a Democrat to win statewide office.
This is hard.
It's hard. Stop it. This is hard.
Stop it.
In Texas.
This is hard. You want to try it?
Yeah.
Get in the ring.
Right. Well, Wendy
Davis
is hard. And she is. So there. 42% for Davis, 49% for Abbott. Put that in the context of the 2002.
Hey, yeah, but.
Excuse me?
Abbott and Costello.
Oh, thank you.
You're familiar with their Irv?
See what happens when Jim pays attention? Just little pearls just drop into the conversation magically. See that? Okay.
And otherwise, that wasn't even cultured.
No.
You see?
God, you're such a Jim wannabe.
Oh, whatever.
Otherwise, see, this would just be boring polling information.
Right.
See? And Jim adds little sparkles, little comedic sparkles.
He throws glitter at it.
I'm the Rip Taylor of radio.
A little confetti here and there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but and she's saying just contrast it with Rick Perry won by 18 points is her point. So this is actually a big deal in Texas. Wendy Davis has a serious shot at becoming the next governor of Texas. Oh, please, God. That would be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, interesting points that I think echo some of what Tomasky said. New polls show 17% of independent voters of Texas still are undecided. Given the historic unchallenged dominance of Republicans in the state, that 17% of independents are undecided speaks to the potential of the Davis campaign and the purple future of Texas. It is a dream that it could rain purple rain.
Oh,
Chris
boy.
And Jim. In Texas,
rain.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole notion.
Purple rain, please, Texas, please.
That's just the chemtrails.
No, it's Texas turning purple. The whole notion of turning Texas purple isn't based on political centrism, but Democratic polarization. As Texas becomes younger and more Latino, it's becoming more liberal. Democrats don't have to ape some form of ideological bland Clinton centrism. In fact, be extra liberal to play to the social progressivism.
Muy, muy liberal.
Economic populism of the future of the American electorate. Very good point. I'm not saying Texas is 100% there yet, Sally writes, but I'm saying it's headed in that direction, and Davis' path to victory appears to hinge on bridging that transition, bringing along enough of the center-left working-class white male vote while maintaining strong support among women and young people and the future of Texas politics. That her candidacy is faring as well as it is already a sign of the bright purple Texas to come.
Centro Izquierda.
I thought this was a little more current than the Barney song, which we considered.
You asked
that.
Me for that, and I'm like, I don't have it.
We considered the Barney song briefly, Jim.
Although
Barney song,
Purple Rain came out.
You love me.
Purple Rain came
We're
out.
We're
like
a happy purple.
83 or 84.
Family. Has anything happened since then? Not really.
The Barney theme came out since Purple Rain, so actually the Barney theme is a little more current than Purple Rain.
All right, whatever. I put a little bit of effort into, a little thought into this segment.
A little bit.
A little bit. A little bit, Jim.
You're going to play some Deep Purple.
Hey, that would
little
be
bit. A little bit.
Less current.
A little bit.
I would appreciate a little enthusiasm for my pre-planning.
Enthusiasm.
There was a musical piece in
enthusiasm.
There.
Enthusiasm.
Thank you. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
52. Oh, this is a callback to the plane thing. This is Jet, the band Jet.
Yes.
See?
Ghost Jet. 1-800-STEP-12.
Well, they're Ghost Jet now. I haven't heard much from them lately.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone
number.
Are
you going to be my girl? Well, not anymore. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go?
Dave in Minneapolis. Yeah, maybe a lot of people trying to get out of engagements.
Yeah.
But not Dave in Minneapolis, who I just got his wedding invitation. He's
what?
Getting married. What? There's Dave. Here he is. There's Dave. There's his handsome, romantic future husband. Hi, Dave.
Hi there. Well, I'm so glad you announced it. I hope this assumes I'll get lots more wedding gifts, right?
Right?
Sure.
Blenders coming your way
course,
in Minneapolis.
Yeah, 'cause I need more crap. But anyway.
Snow machines?
Would you like a snow machine?
I hate you with all those white suns that Stephanie hates people with.
Yeah. You've gotten a lot of snow this winter.
Oh, yeah. We are so over it, I tell you.
Anyway, yes.
I want to tell Stephanie that I understand your problem you have now with constantly being recognized by people as a famous person.
Right, constantly.
Last night I was wandering through one of our gay-oriented stores, not porn. Do you want to make it clear? It's a place that sells jockstraps that you lace up and things like that.
Oh.
But anyway.
What do you mean? Why would we need a gay jockstrap store? Isn't, you know, straight packages the same as gay packages?
Why don't you just ask Chris?
It's like a women's store with lacy under things, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a porn store, but it's a...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay,
yeah, and T-shirts that would fit somebody who was about one-third my size. But anyway...
I just have one question about that store. Is it reasonable?
Is it what?
Is that reasonable? I'm doing Fargo. All right, go ahead.
Okay, anyway... So I'm listening to the overhead. I'm going, what is this? This is a radio show. And I realize it's the Stephanie Miller podcast that's being played over the intercom, over the overhead.
Irma Gerd.
And I know. And so I walk up to the guy that was working there, and I said, is this a Stephanie Miller podcast? And he goes, yeah, I love her. She's just marvelous. I said, oh, that's great. She is great. I said, I listen to her all the time. Sometimes I call in, and this guy goes, you're him. And I go, I'm who? And he says, you're that Dave in Minneapolis guy. And I went, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I wasn't sure whether I should be happy or if I should run away. So.
Oh, my God. And you dived into the mosh pit and took your... Awesome, Dave.
Yeah.
Right.
While he's holding his lacy under things for purchase.
Right. Well, he actually bought my underwear, so I thought that was kind of weird. Oh, but anyway. Aw.
Very nice. Okay. Aw, Dave. And you wrote me a love letter, which I'm over my limit for letters that make me cry today, so I can't read the whole thing, but I started to read it. But you have made a grave error. You May 10th, you invited me to your wedding. It's Albuquerque Sexy Liberal. What
no,
the?
No. I brought this up to you before, remember, and you just stuck to your guns and refused to be there.
I don't believe I said that. What I said is everyone needs to schedule their life around Sexy Liberal if you want me to be at your weddings and circumcisions and things.
Well, all right. I guess I can... You know, I had this thing called a partner I had to consider, too. He wouldn't listen to reason.
Whatever. Okay. I love you, Dave. And I love your handsome,
love
romantic
you too,
man. David, say hi to David for me. Tongue kiss.
No, that's Gregory.
Oh, sorry.
David is Dave in Minneapolis.
Oh,
Stephanie.
Greg. Dave and Greg. Sorry.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I love you. Goodbye.
Wow. Love you. Goodbye.
I'm sorry. I'm a little confused. Listen, people invite me to things. Next Saturday, the 29th, we will be in Madison, then Chicago, April 26th in Chicago, Saturday, May 10th. When this wedding is, Albuquerque Sexy Liberal, June 7th, I will be with newly married man, Dave, in Minneapolis.
Right.
At the State Theater. Please, you need to check the Sexy Liberal schedule first. Whatever, partners, children, something. Impediments to my life. Oh. All right. Mike in West Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Mama. Good
Hello.
Morning, Moog.
Hello.
I would never disparage you.
Oh, good. Thank you. I will stay right on my barge.
I just wanted to say, I think we were talking about running and how to win. Here's how to win. Act like a Democrat.
Yes.
You know, cheer for the things that have been successful.
Yep.
You know, talk about long-term unemployment. Talk about raising the minimum wage. Talk about the success of the Affordable Care Act. Stop running away from being who you are.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
love you, guys.
I love you. Thank you. Hey, guess who has a different idea?
Who?
Why? Yeah.
Billy's hanging around.
I would thought he'd be busy in the Wendy Davis
Texas
campaign office.
With a phone call from the rain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just let him go.
Right.
If you want to know how his talking points are strange. How does he come up with his stuff?
Oh, no. Crazy.
How.
All right, fresh from his ass-kicking on Ed Schultz's radio show yesterday, here is Billy in Texas. Hello, Billy. That was quite a thumping you took.
My ass. Sure. Anyway, listen, Wendy Davis doesn't have a prayer.
Really?
Hmm? Which is kind of weird, because she probably doesn't pray anyway.
Right, because
she's
a godless communist.
But she doesn't have a prayer in Texas. You know, she's a hollow figure with really nothing to run on except her stance on abortion.
Hmm.
And
really, because that's not what she's running on.
The bastion of freedom in this country, and we're not going to give it up to this little Barbie abortion Barbie doll we got coming.
Oh my God! You have to steal material from Eric Erickson.
Wow, y'all have to offer.
That's Billy. You got to get a better writer.
Don't worry about Texas going purple or
abortion Barbie, really?
Oh, well, you are stealing
talking point?
Material from Eric Erickson.
Wow.
It is time
That's sad.
To rethink your life.
I know Billy got his ass kicked by you, a girl.
Bam! Twice in 1 week, Billy. Nicely done. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, it's time to feel good. Hey, all right now, it's time to feel good.
You're like a bad defense attorney. Where are those papers?
I'm prepared. I wasn't asleep. What?
Where's that one document that can free me?
Where was that? Where did I put that exculpatory evidence?
You're like Jeanine Pirro. Remember her?
Yes. She lost Your Honor, all the pages of her speech.
For a recess right now.
And now where is page two?
Miss Miller, the evidence, please. I had it right here. Columbo. I had it right here a second ago.
You're fried.
Excuse me, ma'am. I had a piece of paper right here. It was right on this desk. Stool and Columbo's.
Need to talk into the microphone.
He was
still writing a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. Hey, you're not supposed to be here yet. You haven't been jingled.
Oh, that's good coffee.
I take it back, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos El Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos El Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
Good morning, Carlos. Now you can do your Columbo.
Yeah, geez, I had a piece of paper right a second ago.
Is there just one more thing?
Just one more. One more thing. My wife had a letter for me.
Right.
And she couldn't find it. She's,
So do you want me to read the story or not?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that was our first dueling impression of the morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I hear you rocked it out with Sexy Liberal John Fugelstein
last week. Yeah, me, the Fugue, and Matt Cushion. We were talking to the invader. Matt Kirshen, we had a good time. Boy, what were we on about? We were on about several things, but it was good.
Good.
Wow.
Good times.
Awesome. Good news for Madison next Saturday, which has been sold out for eons.
Yeah.
But go check all the other ones coming up. Chicago, the big one. These guys coming.
Chicago, yeah, that's right, April 26th.
You can do your dueling, you know, everything's. Oh, wait, I saved a dueling Woody Allen for
you. The Bratwurst Brothers. Go ahead. Dueling Woody Allen, yeah.
Oh, you got Bratwurst Brothers?
I don't know. We're going to make it up. We're going to be the Bratwurst Brothers.
Bratwurst Brothers.
Come on down there. Come on. Beat those Packers.
Hey, we're on the brats. There's always servalette.
Servalette.
cheese curds.
Apple pie.
Will they be Denny Hastert relatives or just random Bratwurst Brothers?
Oh, Sensenbrenner. Jim Sensenbrenner was from Wisconsin.
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 That's different. Yep. That's next Saturday. Yeah. Okay. But all right. Lena Dunham says she is, of Girls, HBO's Girls, is nauseated by Woody Allen. I don't know if he returns the favor or not, but, you know, just saying.
Yes, well, you know, I've seen your show, and it reminded me of one night when I had the flu, and I... No,
I mean, Lena Dunham's, you know, good comic actress.
Really leave the clothes on.
Yeah, she's not the kind of...
No,
you know. See... You know, she gets that comment in every interview she does.
I know.
And
it's horrible.
I would be sick of that comment, too.
I haven't seen a body like that since Kathy Bates got in the hot tub naked with Jack Nicholson.
The
movie was.
Can't erase that image.
About Schmidt.
Yes, can't erase that image.
About Schmidt.
That was a great movie, though.
That was, Alexander Payne. But, you know, this Dunham chick is not the comic genius that Scarlett Johansson is. Which is, you know... When I was mining, you know, the actors for the greatest female comic actresses, I immediately went to Scarlett Johansson, not just because she's got great knockers.
Clearly, because, you know, she's appropriately named because she's obviously Dunham.
My point is... All right. She said, I'm not going to indict the work, meaning his work. She said, I think you can decide that you don't want to support the work of somebody who has molested a child. That's a completely appropriate choice, but going through it and saying, look, he's told us in 57 ways that he rapes kids, that's not the thing. The thing is to look at the actual evidence that exists in the world, which I think strongly suggests Woody Allen is in the wrong. Somebody had tweeted that they were nauseated by his work, and she said, I'm nauseated with the person, not the work. So she separated it from the work.
The work is good. It's good material.
Chemically free work. It shouldn't nauseate anybody.
All right, Carlos, the main reason that heralded voice guy that you are, voice of the Taco Bell Chihuahua, star of Disney's new movie Planes, the main reason it's good you're here this week is we are running out of things to stretch with plane experts, and you are as good as anybody CNN has.
Let me tell you something, amigo. Being a BG plane, I know it's dangerous to fly over the ocean. And as you saw in our movie, Dusty was taken down over the ocean for flying too low beneath the radar.
See?
So in my estimation, these plane captain pilots
were
fans of Dusty and tried to fly low,
no,
and therefore were taken by the ocean.
There you go. See? That's got to be better than Don Lemon's toy plane. His flight attendants. Who else?
Anybody
who
else
have they interviewed? The fisherman? I saw that.
I was a nor'easter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect storm. Big wave. Come and got him. Crab claw.
They might have been to
the wing there.
Perfect storm. Perfect storm.
Perfect Storm.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Clooney was involved somehow. Carlos, what do you think of Ghost Plane? What's your theory?
Ghost Plane, I think that they're so embarrassed by their lack of technical ability in the tower there, and they're just like, let's make something up. I think they just goofed.
No, that left turn wasn't a goof. That doesn't happen by accident.
Well, that left turn was at Albuquerque, and they were supposed to be nowhere near Albuquerque.
They were trying to get to Sexy Liberal May 10th.
Maybe it's then Jim, if what you say is true, I'm going to go with Captain Suicide.
We don't believe that either because why would you
at any time.
Right, why would you fly for 7 hours? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're thinking about it. You're on the edge. You're on the fence. I know. I mean, obviously, we're not trying to make. It's not landing anywhere. It's not. Well, it was a 25 million square foot playground they had to search. So
it was heading for somewhere when it made that sharp left turn.
And they turned the
transponders off. If
he wanted to
just dive into the ocean, he could have done it at any point, anywhere. But he appears to be heading somewhere.
And then the latest this morning, I don't know if you heard, but the they took the flight simulator from his home, and there's data missing.
Mm-hmm. It was deleted on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, you heard sometimes people do that. But they go, did he plan this in advance and then delete it, knowing what was going to happen? Who knows?
We're saying it's a he, so it's a
the
captain.
Pilot.
The captain.
Yeah.
The captain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the co-pilot was probably had nothing he could do to stop it.
Right, but everyone agrees on the incompetence of the Malaysian. How do you lose? We were saying who is in the, what is it? Barney Fife is in there,
If you turn off the transponders, it makes it harder to find. But someone did see a satellite image of the plane flying low over an island. I'll have to find it again.
Yeah.
But. So,
yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just who's in charge of watching for the plane and the. I'm just saying because they
Tattoo.
Were saying, how do you right?
Tattoo, of course.
Either Tattoo or Barney Fife was on patrol that night.
Back in the day, we used to just blame it on the Bermuda Triangle. Back in the day,
right?
It's the Bermuda Triangle.
That was all the rage.
Go missing,
well,
so
the
let's bring that back. Again.
Triangle isn't totally mythological. There is a sort of I don't know how to describe it. It's where one of the magnetic poles used to be. So there's an accumulation of minerals that tends to throw off your magnetic compass. There's another one with Ural Mountains in Russia.
It's electromagnetic fields. I don't. Who know? Maybe Putin grabbed it. He's in a grabby mood.
He's in a grabby mood. Maybe he's in Crimea.
He's feeling grabby.
Maybe.
He's feeling very grabby.
By the way, Joe Biden talking about the grabby Putin.
Russia has offered a variety of arguments to justify what is nothing more than a land grab.
Walter in Virginia on the situation in Crimea. Hello.
Yeah, you know, I'm wondering if Putin's going to come over here. Because we have some ethnic Russians. I wonder if he's going to do that. You know, come here to the United States and come to California and New York and Illinois and other places where there's ethnic Russians.
Right, he might seize the Fairfax district.
Yeah. Or the Richmond district in San Francisco used to be heavily Russian, and then it became heavily Chinese.
Better get to Cantor's if you need some deli, because, the Fairfax district might be gone soon.
Yeah.
Might be annexed.
Disappear. This is raging against my people, and they can't buy the Reuben sandwich.
Exactly. Larry King and his friends are going to have to find somewhere else to have deli.
Larry King goes to Nate now.
He
goes to Brooklyn Water Bagels on Beverly. He has a table there in the corner.
I have a table in the corner.
Yeah.
Hello. Beverly Hills, you're on the line. Where's my Reuben?
Henry,
I am.
Henry, you're on with Carlos. Hi, Henry.
All right, how you doing?
Good.
Look, I just want to say about the young lady, Wendy Davis, down in Texas, about the guy calling earlier. Well, you know, it's pretty easy to say that she's going to get beat when you jerry-rigged the election as for redistricting and everything in Texas, where a Democrat pretty much can't win anywhere. But at least you have a chance to get the popular vote as for, her ability to actually get in office. And the other thing I want to say, Republican Party in Texas is not really a political party, because if you go down there and look at all the commercials and all the stupidity these guys are talking about, they might as well be a cult. Because all they're doing is following the leader, and they act like the people they have in charge is doing so well.
Yeah. Henry, I'm not saying that Wendy Davis does not have a push. I mean, obviously it's tough in Texas, but I think it is true. It is significant that Rick Perry won by 18 points, and she's only down 7. There is something happening demographically and otherwise in Texas, don't you think?
Well, of course it is, because let's face it, a lot of women in Texas, a lot of minorities in Texas, are finally trying to find a way to get around the loopholes and register to vote. And you got a lot of small groups that are trying to help them. But as much as they're trying to help, they keep changing the rules, keep changing the districts, to make it harder for these people to even be eligible to go and vote. And you know there's something seriously wrong with your state government with a political party in charge of it who keeps changing the rules to maintain their power. So that tells you the people in Texas are the only ones that can change the stature of the way the things are. But the other thing this young man keeps forgetting when he called in, if Texas is doing so great, how come they're the number one welfare state in the United States? Why? Because more all their corporations down there pay minimum wages as for paying people, and then they turn around and get the biggest tax break.
Exactly.
And also,
it's Rick Perry's paradise.
Yeah, they're sucking off the state teat.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
What happened to Ann Richards and Molly Ivins and people like that?
Jim Hightower.
Jim Hightower is still alive. Yeah. Alive. Around. Yeah. Alive.
Or arrive.
Yeah, I got to sit and listen to Ann Richards, and you know, there's a bunch of us in someone's apartment, and everyone just sat there like we were like puppies on the floor. We were like, well, she was just, she was.
It's amazing.
Yeah, magnetic. She was just amazing.
George Bush.
She was an electromagnetic field. Field.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
It's contagious.
The field has arrived.
Go ahead, do the line. George Bush.
George Bush
was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
Well, there's that one, and also he was born on third base and thinks he hit a triple.
Yay. Posthumous shout out. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, Coffee with Carlos. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
All right, Steve. Let's go.
She's had the much butcher version of that song.
Yeah.
24 minutes after the hour is the Stephanie Miller Show. Coffee with Carlos Alzraki.
Good morning.
Sexy liberal, his own bad self. We have it's a love letter and a request for Carlos. Request for sick doggy on the Stephanie Miller Show. There's the doggy right there.
Popcorn. That's Smith.
His name is not Popcorn. Amy writes, Carlos, I have a sick doggy named Smith. Smith is handsome. Recuperating from pancreatitis at home. I think it would make him feel much better to hear Faraway Barking Dog, don't you? We could play it over and over again via the Stephanie Miller podcast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. That's correct.
That's right.
I just love the way his eyes light up when he hears your Faraway Barking Dog. Well, first of all, let's do close-up Barking Dog.
Smith, if you are there, if you can hear me. This is for you. Close-up dog.
Okay. Smith, far away dog. Where's the dog, Smith? It's far away.
He's far away and in a basement.
Yeah. For Smith. Yay, we gave him a little taste last week, but...
Boy, the scroochy pooch.
Smith, where are the canisters? Oh, you bumbling booby.
I've got me some good dog karma.
I'll
take some good dog karma.
There you are. All right, let's go to Peggy in Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi,
Thank
Peggy.
Thank you. Just wanted to let y'all know up front, I'm a conservative.
Okay.
But I do listen to y'all's channel. It was on right when I got in my truck this morning, and it was right when I think his name Billy from Texas called.
Yes.
Yeah, and he was kind of going off the deep end there a little bit, and so he's funny, ha-ha. Then this guy, right before y'all went to break, the caller right before me came on and was talking about Billy, and he's saying, well, the problem in Texas is that they're keeping people from voting, and, you know, they're just now being able to get people to learn that they can vote. And that's so untrue, Stephanie, and y'all sit there and let him say it.
Peggy, there are a lot of voter suppression efforts that are going on in many different states, and they're designed to depress Democratic voter turnout. That is
look,
We're not saying they're stopping everyone from voting, but voter ID laws and all of that nonsense is designed to depress people that generally vote Democratic. When they say no more weekend voting, it's because they know black churches tend to send all of their voters after church on Sunday, and they tend to vote largely Democratic. So that is voter suppression.
That is fine. They haven't. The only thing they've done is put the photo ID in.
Right.
You know, we have to have an ID for everything to go to to get in a library.
Right. The people that don't tend to have IDs or be able to afford them are the poor, the elderly, students,
give them
people
away free here in Texas.
Oh, right. And you do have to show proof of citizenship when you register to vote.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. All right. All right, Peggy. We love you. All right. Imagine her horror when she started her truck up innocently in Texas. And what should come on?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Yeah. Apparently, it's equipped with Sirius XM.
Yep. Channel 127.
Thank you. That's progress. that's the thing. It's a blatant attempt. It is trying to solve a problem that does not exist, voter fraud.
And the photo ID was put into place because of maybe, two or three cases of somebody voting twice?
If right. that.
So
Chris, that is a very good point. You have to show ID to get registered.
Right.
So this non-existent problem of voter fraud, as Jim and I have frequently mocked, is really? You're going to pretend you can read upside down and you can pretend to be someone you're... How often does that happen? Mm-hmm. Who does that?
The Black Panthers. They're black. They're everywhere. Right. There was thousands of them.
Kyle in New York.
Trying to suppress the vote.
Kyle in New York. You're on. Hello, Kyle.
Hello, Stephanie and Luke.
Hello.
Listen, I grew up in Texas, and my comment is about this Texas turning purple, and of course, Wendy Davis, and I'm on her side. The thing is, there's a professor at SMU, Ravi Batra. He wrote books such as The Great Depression of 1990. Didn't happen. But he also talks about this guy named P.R. Starkar and the cyclic theory. And essentially, what should happen in Texas is the result of his cyclic theory, where he claims that every 30 years, things like political sentiment turn around. So they've been Republican for about, I guess it was 96 or 97 when Bush got elected governor, which is what made me leave Texas.
Somewhere in Texas, a village is missing its idiot. There you go. That was my favorite bumper sticker. It is going to rain purple. It's going to rain purple.
Absolutely.
In Texas.
Purple rain.
And then what comes after that, Chris? Texas turning blue in 2016 for Hillary Clinton. Just saying. What was that? Spirit Fingers? Were doing Spirit Fingers.
Harp Fingers.
Was it Jazz Hands or Spirit Fingers?
No, he's doing a glissando. A harp glissando.
All right. We have some news from the Queen when we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. That's a great story about being old and alone. It's like you've been walking around dead for 20 years and no one's had the decency to cremate you and sprinkle your ashes over Old Maid Mountain.
Yes, it is I, desperate old crone Stephanie Miller. Oh, and I'm also, what am I? I'm a licensed liberal racist.
That's right.
And it is licensed liberal racist.
What's that?
Whoa.
Yeah, according to, who's this guy? Let's play this again for
his
Carlos.
His name is Zoe.
You know what I'm going to blame? I'm going to blame Carlos L's Rocky Black, his Black Santa bit that we did 15 years ago.
Ho, ho, hoody, ho.
Ho, ho, hoody, ho.
You own a bicycle?
That's probably why, because otherwise we don't know
12 years a slave of Christmas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This guy, what's his name?
Zoe.
Okay.
Zoe.
It's a far right, wing Breitbart site. So.
Well, it's not Breitbart. They do a lot of stuff with Breitbart.
Breitbart, you can make it with racists.
This is on the YouTubes, and we don't know based on what exactly. But,
I'm not sure if I've ever heard of Stephanie Miller before today, and I really want a refund for the brain space I had to waste on finding out who she is. I heard her statements to the effect about how us black folks are supposed to behave. Stephanie Miller is a Bill Maher wannabe.
Uh-oh.
And has about as much charm as a bunion. But there you go, liberals that are black. Another white liberal making a determination on how you're supposed to act. Stephanie Miller promotes the idea that to be really black, is to be a thug, and that the model of what it is to be black is personified in people like Ludacris and 50 Cent. Stephanie is another cowardly liberal bigot who has a negative perception of blacks in general and wants to express her negative sentiments against blacks while she chicken-heartedly projects her sentiments onto the Tea Party so she can get away with her bigotry scot-free.
Wow.
Typical of a shallow liberal. Okay. She expects people to perform and behave according to their skin color. Stephanie Miller is another full of herself liberal who thinks she's qualified to be an authority on how black folks are supposed to act. You Democrats really can't get over the fact that you don't own us anymore, can you?
Not like the party's changed or evolved. Or...
Yeah.
Yep.
With the same Democratic Party as it was way back when.
Yeah. Right?
We were laughing that all the people posting comments afterwards were like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What is, you didn't even mention what she said. What are you talking about?
Proof that not just white people vote against their best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure what that
unless they're paying him a lot of money for that, so in which case it is. Self-interest.
All right. In other news, Prince Harry drunk dialed his girlfriend, Chelsea. This is part of the, you know, the phone hacking scandal that's coming out. Prince Harry made drunken phone calls to his girlfriend, Chelsea Davy. The London phone hacking trial heard yesterday. Another day of evidence that will make uncomfortable reading for the royals.
Oh, dear.
He apparently would shout affections to her down the phone line, according to court testimony.
Was he in a winery with Paul Giamatti? Oh, tell me you didn't drunk dial. You did not drunk dial.
Wow. Sideways. That was random. That was awesome. Oh, heavens. I certainly hope the Queen's phone sex tape doesn't come out.
It has come to our attention that a certain scoundrel and ne'er-do-well, commonly known as Prince Harry, has been drunk dialing his paramours, including that boozy strumpet Chelsea Davy, apparently shouting incoherent affections down the phone, which we obviously can't repeat here. Even worse, another nameless blackguard, whose initials are Prince William, apparently affected a female voice, and we do so hate it when blokes affect a female voice for comedic effect, whilst calling his brother, saying, "Hi, it's Chelsea. You're the best-looking ginger I've ever seen. You big, fat, hairy ginger. Excuse us whilst we vomit."
Amused.
What? Oh. British people affecting female voices.
Good heavens.
What's on the telly?
Well done, Jim. I say, well done.
What's brand and sounds like a bell? Dung.
All right. You know where the Queen should spend some of that royal cash?
Where?
At Free Speech TV, because it's Fun Drive Week.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen. What?
That was a hell of a segue.
Let's drunk dial the Queen and ask for some money, Jim. Why not?
Give us a couple quid there, Queenie.
Freespeech.org, Queenie. Or call 1-877-378-8669 to keep us all on the air here at Free Speech TV. We got swag, Carlos.
Yeah?
We got swag.
What kind of swag you got?
$60. We got a Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug. $120. We got a Stephanie Miller Show coffee mug. And a messenger bag.
10 cents, we got dog hair. Bunch of dog hair.
He's got a messenger
bag full
of vipers. We will
cover it in dog hair if you would like. No, it is not full of vipers. For
or glass.
240 clams.
Messenger bag full of glass.
You get the mug, the bag, and the baseball cap.
The mug, the bag, and the baseball cap?
$360, coffee mug, the messenger bag, the baseball cap, and the hoodie sweatshirt.
I'm already
a
mug.
Sweatshirt. You got any Skittles with that? Good night, folks.
Now we can't have nice things. Do you see what you did?
I know.
Okay, for $1,000, you get a meet and greet with me and the Mooks right here in the L.A. studio.
Oh, wow.
Right?
If there's space.
Right.
And see the dogs are here, that's
how the
happen.
Show is produced.
Yeah.
Are we going to delouse the people first before they come in?
We will. you will be freshly lint rolled upon your arrival and your departure.
We got some of that keyboard spray that'll knock it right off.
Pete in Wisconsin, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Pete.
Good morning, Stephanie. Greetings from the great state of Wisconsin, where our dear leader, Scott Walker, is doing everything he can to suppress the vote.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A couple of comments on voter ID and why it is such a sham.
Yep.
In Wisconsin, you do not have to be a United States citizen to get a driver's license. The only thing the driver's license will prove is the address the person claims to live at when the license is issued. You can be ineligible to vote and still have your photo ID. You can get a driver's license without a picture on it by claiming a religious exemption, and the poll worker has to accept it. Or if your driver's license is confiscated by law enforcement and you're giving a receipt, which doesn't have a picture on it, they have to accept that as well. It's just such a scam. Yet, if I was a poll worker and my dear sainted arthritic 85-year-old mother forgot her purse at home, I could not vouch to her identity and eligibility to vote and address because it's not allowed.
Yeah, here's a new idea. Run on the issues and let people vote. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to stop people from voting. All right. By the way, we were talking about Crimea earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We were chatting about Russia. The Obama administration vowed to take further action against those supporting Russia's move to annex Crimea, mm-hmm. including expanding sanctions. John Kerry yesterday. John Kerry, Secretary of State, yesterday.
Nobody doubts Russia's interests in Crimea, but that doesn't legitimize just taking what you want because you want it. Or because you're angry about the end of the Cold War or the end of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, grabby. Mm-hmm. We were saying he took the ghost plane. Getting very grabby, Putin.
Yeah, I need the 777 in my backyard. The 777, they hollow it out, they make a kiddie playground with a ball pit, trampolines.
You already got the slides coming out of the airplane.
Water slides.
Yeah.
Balloons. John Kerry yesterday.
He and Russia, for what they have done, are on the wrong side of history.
Oh, guess what he made? A Nazi analogy, Jim. Yes, he did. He informed a group of students the administration has drawn a hard line against possible Russian invasion of East Ukraine. He said such a step would be an egregious escalation of tensions. He specifically said Russia has been fomenting nationalistic fervor similar to what moved Germans to pre-World War II militarism. Mm-hmm. Jay Carney yesterday.
I wouldn't, if I were you, invest in Russian equities right now. I think unless you're going short.
Oh, he's a stock analyst now.
Yeah,
yeah. And here is Vladimir himself, Putipoot.
Our Western partners, headed by the U.S., prefer in their practical politics to be guided not by international law, but the law of the strong.
Oh.
And I am strong, like bull.
In other Nazi analogy news, Home Depot founder compares income inequality rhetoric to, wait for it, Nazi Germany.
Oh, great. Huh? What?
See, invading land that's not yours, that's probably a little closer historical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's Tuesday, which means someone must be comparing something to Hitler or Nazi Germany. Mediaite writes.
Meteorite?
Today, meteorite.
Meteorite.
Well, if a meteorite said it, then...
If a meteorite falls in a forest...
Then. Billionaire Home Depot founder Ken Langone, that guy. He said, I hope it's not working, meaning the incoming, you know, possibly mentioning the craziness that there might be some degree of income inequality in the United States that might be bad. Because if you go back to 1933 with different words, this is what Hitler was saying in Germany. You don't survive as a society if you encourage and thrive on envy or jealousy. Right. That is exactly the same.
You know what's exactly like Hitler?
Yeah.
Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler. That's the only, there's no, he's sui generis.
Right.
So you somebody's asking exactly for a health plan and above minimum wage, that's envy and jealousy?
Right. That's, you're just too stuck.
As opposed to
Hitler.
People that exploit illegal immigrants and pay them $2 a week.
It's so only two
can
more
make
stops.
A profit, that's okay.
It's only two more stops to Hitler. It's like you're at Yonkers and then it's two more to like Croton Harmon.
Right.
There you are. That was a little upstate New York.
Yeah.
Metro North New York.
One stop is like, this is Belmont, get off the train. The next stop is, this is Berlin, raus!
Exactly.
It's just a quarter mile.
Tim in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby. No.
Hey, but I think what everybody's missing on the Texas voting suppression law, it's all about the women's maiden name. They're suppressing the vote by... It seems like it was past practice that they put their maiden name in the middle name slot.
Right.
And if their name doesn't match exactly, they have to do a provisional ballot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, and that's what, you know, I mean, when they say they're not suppressing the women's vote, that's what they're doing.
Right. Well, it's like voting 101. Come on. It's like exactly because women tend to vote Democratic. Any group that you can find that tends to vote Democratic, they find a way that'll suppress that vote. Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to happen? Putin's going to go, I do not accept the results of the Texas voting. It's corrupt beyond compare. How can we accept this?
I'm invading.
Looking maiden name.
I think I'll invade Louisiana.
I'm invading Lubbock.
Louisiana, that's right.
I'm just going to take Lubbock.
Gambo. Lots of gambo.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back with remaining moments of coffee with Carlos Alazraki. on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. All that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.
We're back.
I'm an ill-prepared defense attorney. Hello, good morning.
Are you okay?
Hello, I'm the Janine Pirro of my own show.
Oh. Your Honor, 10. We vote for a recess while my attorney tries to find her car keys. Well, I was just speaking that the person on the Breitbart
yes.
site who was saying that you are anti-black, I suppose.
I'm a licensed liberal racist.
You're a racist, is that... Their message has to come through false anger and indignation. To make it palatable for their masses. It can't come from a calm perspective.
Right.
If I'm angry, therefore you must be wrong. That's why I'm so angry.
See,
I'm
now
talking
I'm gonna...
louder.
If you were wrong,
I'm right.
I wouldn't be angry.
Oh,
it's your
boy.
Fault I'm angry. And the liberals' fault that I'm angry.
Speaking of loud and wrong, hey, Sarah Palin's new reality show is almost here, kids.
Great.
Guys and gals,
oh, geez.
I hope it's
gather
Lisa's.
Around.
Dancing with the Stooges?
The previous one.
With the guys and gals, here we go. Mediaite brings us the news. There is a new trailer. Get wild, get red, wild, and blue, America. That's the new trailer for Sarah Palin's Amazing America. New reality show on the Sportsman Channel. Mediaite says it's way more insane than you even thought it would be. We get actual footage from the show, and it looks incredibly goofy. I guess someone, Mediaite writes, thought it might be a little more than a glorified. I thought it might be a little more than a glorified red state jackass, complete with shooting, fighting, and a man getting rammed in the butt by a stampeding bull. But it's not more than that. That's
really?
That's it.
Palin says this show is going to highlight a freedom, and we get to experience in America. She says in the 30-second video,
right.
If freedom means the ability to almost kill yourself for others' entertainment, I guess she would be right. I guess there's...
A freedom to quit being governor for second term so I can make a reality show. Because I care about the people of my state. So I could make a show.
She is just a goof. Miley Cyrus's tour bus caught on fire, everybody. She put it out with a giant styrofoam finger.
Yeah.
And her tongue.
And then, right.
Yeah, licked it.
Licked the fire.
And a wrecking ball.
Right. As you do these days, the singer's younger sister posted scenes from the accident on Instagram. That's why God made Instagram.
Sure.
You can instantaneously post anything that happens in your life.
Anything
even bad.
Stupid that you've done.
I was caught in a school bus fire in high school.
Ooh, wow.
That is one fun fact I did not know about you.
Yeah, well, I was the best.
Was it from your Husky Boy corduroys, like rubbing together between your thighs and catching fire?
No, we think it was the opposing team putting sugar in our bus's gas tank.
Oh.
That works, huh? The sugar in the gas tank.
What kind of
thing?
Team?
Basketball. I was the basketball manager.
Oh, good for you.
I handed out rosin and towels and stuff like that.
I apologize for the Husky Boy comment.
I was still Husky. And, we were driving back on a rural road. It was... late at night. I think it was like, 11 o'clock at night, and
right. The
bus pulled over to the side of the road, and they said, all of a sudden, get out, and so everybody started getting out of the back, and as we were walking towards a nearby gas station, we saw flames shooting out of the bus.
Wow. Hmm. That is like psycho. That's like kind of psycho.
I almost got run over by my psychotic bus driver, Mrs. Moley, in high school.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Moley.
Oh, she's such a bitch. She would, like, take off on purpose. She would, like, see you running, and she would wait till you got closer. She'd go... I ain't running a taxi service. Slam.
Wow.
Yeah, she slammed the thing and just peel
she
out.
Sounds like my fourth grade teacher, Miss Moan.
Excuse me? Excuse me
now?
I think she was that way,
Really?
But really?
But
I got in trouble because I corrected her spelling once.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. You were like a little junior mook, just like me. Oh, my God.
What was the word that she
Periscope. Because she was making fun of me because she knew I was into submarines. She spelled it para as in parallel, which means next to, not the Greek spelling, peri, meaning around. A periscope is you look around.
Right.
Did you tell her all that? Greek
right.
And...
Yeah, that's why I was put in the corner for...
Hit you in the head with my power.
You were a smartass.
You must have known then you would grow up to work with someone that you would frequently disparage.
You know, homeschooled.
How did you and the kitty survive the earthquake?
All right. Riley woke up and she says, why is my arm moving? Then we said, that's Satan. Go back to sleep. We didn't want to tell her it was an earthquake and scare her.
No. We were the toughest morning crew on television in L.A. here.
Yeah.
We didn't budge.
All the other pusses dove under the desks. We were like...
an earthquake. How do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Poor Chris Shovel.
Ooh, earthquake.
It woke me up. It gave me a start, as they say. Yeah.
We was live on air, but we were too old and tired to care.
And jaded.
Well, there's really nowhere to run.
Nowhere to run. So we died.
Hide under the dogs. Whatever. Get under the dogs!
You just call Max Cruise Ship.
Yeah. Come, take Stephanie's dog to the Caribbean. Clunk, 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 clunk. There's a water slide. Clink, clink, and a golf course. Clink, 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 clink.
And a petting zoo.
Boy. Kate Winslet was breast pumping through the entire L.A. earthquake, she said.
Really?
Good for her.
Weird.
She caused it.
Jim was using a penis pump. Vanilla shake. That is so weird. Is that my washing? Jim!
Don't worry, the earthquake will be over in 10 seconds.
Stop it. The Pope has nixed a meeting with Russell Crowe.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Noah? He's calling off Noah?
Just when you think celebrities can't get more self-important, listen to this story. Pope Francis reportedly, Pope Frank, pulled the plug on a potential powwow with Noah star Russell Crowe at the Vatican this week. Apparently he got cold feet because of the media circus it would create. Mm-hmm. Crowe personally reached out to the Pope last month via Twitter, as you do.
Yeah.
Hey, Pope Frank.
Hashtag Vatican.
Offering to let him view the flick before the multitudes. Oh, that was nice. A private screening. Yeah.
The multitudes?
In the hope that he would give the biblical epic his blessing.
Oh, wow. You mean the multitudes?
Like, so he could be in a blur?
Right.
Box office of, what, people. 20 million the first weekend, and that's multitudes? Maybe if you're in a Harry Potter film, you might need that little preview thing, but I don't think Noah's going to do that multitude business.
Yikes.
Maybe a bit before the multiplexes.
How big does your ego have to be to tweet the Pope to get a blurb for your stupid movie?
Yeah. If you saw my singing in Les Miserables, you might know that people will want to come see me on a giant boat.
Right. That is miserable. Okay, let's go to Stuart in Florida. Hi, Stuart.
Good afternoon, or good morning, still, and it's great talking with you. Okay. I was listening to you talk about Hillary Clinton running in 2016.
Right.
I want to know why all the Democrats are backing her instead of our vice president. And
neither of them have announced anything yet. I think the supposition is that she's going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the way you're saying, and what you're saying was, it implied that you're hoping she would run and not the vice president.
I didn't say that. I don't think the vice president's going to run if she runs. By the way, were you riding a bike with baseball cards in the spokes when you called? What was that sound?
I was next to a pumping out of a loading dock, pumping out the water that had over 40 degrees.
I think perhaps the reason that people are leaning towards Hillary, and I just got a tweet from my friend, is that elections, unfortunately, politics become about the lesser of two evils. Not to say that both candidates on either side are evil, but we may not have a choice, and Hillary might be our best chance to win over Joe Biden.
SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook, CarlosAlRocky.com,
or Facebook,
there you
or
go.
Twitter.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.